Welcome to the Yes to Entrepreneurship podcast. So real quick, before I jump into the conversation with this week's guest, I just want to let you know what this show's about. Really, this show is just about all the conversations we entrepreneurs, those of us who are the why notters, have around entrepreneurship. It's the conversation that you don't typically hear because you just see those fun posts on Instagram and Facebook where we're hanging out on yachts or we're making a ton of money and driving these fancy cars, when reality is, that's not real life. Real life is trying to figure out how you're gonna pay bills, trying to figure out if you're gonna make rent this month, trying to figure out if that new client really is gonna help move you forward or if they're really gonna bring you down. Really, anything goes in these conversations. And you, the listener, gets to eavesdrop in on these conversations that I'm having with fellow entrepreneurs. So grab your cup of coffee, grab your water, grab your tea, whatever it is that you enjoy, and a pen and paper because you're about to take some notes. Also, be sure to share this out. Oh, here comes my guest. Talk to you soon. Quick shout out to our sponsor, StupidEasy.com. StupidEasy.com is a new online course platform where you can easily upload and sell your online courses without having to be tech savvy and without them taking a cut of your sales. Discover more at StupidEasy.com and we'll have a link in the show notes for you. Your story is just, it blew me away. And so I want to know, like, of course I want to know more about you. And through that, let me ask you, you know, you're an entrepreneur, but why did you think that you built your business wrong?
I originally thought that I was building it right. And I had no clue at all that I was building it, quote unquote, how I now feel, which is wrong. When I first got started as being a mompreneur or an entrepreneur, I actually ended up in a MLM company. And I was so focused on, you know, everyone saying you need to attend the events, you need to go to all these different meetings, you need to do so many different things, or you're not doing it the right way, or you're not going to be building your business as fast as you can be building it. So I felt that now I built it the wrong way because I listened. And at that time, with my finances, the MLM wasn't bringing in enough for me to justify spending so much trying to make sure I'm at so many different events and buying different courses. And I was just all over the place.
And that's what happens, right? And so what did you start out with your business? And is it the same thing that you're doing now?
Yes and no. What I started out with was actually an MLM company in the health and fitness industry. And it slowly evolved into me also getting into a finance company. So I started trying to merge the two for some reason so that I would have one sole business that everyone can come to me. Like, I can help you get fit. I can help you with your finances. I'm the one-stop shop. And then I realized it was just too much work. I was all over the place. So now my business, I am still doing my health business because I built a team. But I'm starting a new business called Monetized Mama, where I'm trying to help military moms like me become entrepreneurs and build it the right way and not the way that I felt that I did it in the past.
Okay, I like that. I like that. And now, what made you want to start this Monetized Mama? Because that's a really specific niche, which is hard to find. When you're becoming an entrepreneur, it's hard to find what your niche is sometimes, and it takes a while to figure it out.
Yes. It actually took me a year and a half. It might be a little bit longer than some people, but I'm happy I figured it out now. So I can start moving in the right direction. But what made me realize that this is where I wanted to be, as I was building my health and wellness business and I was trying to call people and get people into the business with me, I realized there's not a lot of people interested in being in health and fitness. But they would ask me how they start a business and what they wanted to do, if it was making soaps or making headbands, and all of the trainings I invested in, I was able to answer them. So it slowly ended up finding its way into what I was already doing.
Nice. And so that's a big one right there, because while, and I love the quote that you had shared with me, you know, nothing is a waste of time if you use the experience wisely, because it's so true.
you know, you took the time to invest in the MLM stuff, and you did that. You put in your time there, and it wasn't what you wanted, but yet you're still able to take what you learned and apply it to what you wanted to do and what you're currently doing, which is awesome.
Thank you. Thank you.
And what kind of struggles, because I know that we all go through struggles, and you got a family. So what kind of struggles are you dealing with or have dealt with? Because, you know, running a business is not easy.
It absolutely is not. I would say that some of the struggles that I'm dealing with now is I am 23, been married for almost 3 years with 2 kids under 18 months.
Wow.
And my husband and I, when we first got married, we moved to Virginia. And then shortly thereafter, we ended up moving here to California. So my struggle was that we are a military family with young kids constantly moving, that I haven't been able to find a close niche of friends that I can connect with. And then when that correlates with me building a business, I didn't have people to bounce these ideas off with. So I think that also was how I ended up in so many different businesses trying to figure it out, because I was trying to figure it out on my own. Because my husband is military, he's always away at work, you know, helping protect us. So when he gets home, he's too tired to listen to me brainstorm. So I would definitely say that's probably how I ended up getting into this and some of the struggles I was dealing with.
And you know, that's a huge one, building that circle around you, having that support, that community. You know, I always say teamwork equals success. And as you experience, it's true. You can't possibly come up with everything and have it work out by yourself. You need a team. You know, it's just like raising a family. You got to have people to help you out, you know? And that's an interesting one because of the fact that you guys have moved around. So now how did you get your little circle of friends together now that you're in California, which I didn't even know you were right here in California, which is awesome, because I am.
Yes, I'm actually down by Temecula, so I'm not that far from you. I did my research. But as far as me having a circle, I actually don't have a circle actually here in California yet. We just moved here in October, and during that time, I just had my son in January. But I found my virtual circle. So I end up finding people online that I can connect with, that I can ask questions and bounce ideas, and it kind of helped me figure out, you know, where I wanted to go and how I wanted to build my business.
Yeah, and you know, that's becoming more and more the case, right? Is because everything's online and the online world connects us so much, you and I are able to have a relationship and be able to connect like this. And you know, all of our friends have that opportunity as well. And that's what, you know, even though we're tech savvy, right? Because we actually are online, there's a whole world of people who aren't there yet. And that's okay. But it's so important to find your connections, whether it's in person, online, or both, ideally, you know. How did you start finding those virtual friends? Like, is it Facebook groups? Were you tweeting? Were you just jumping on people's websites because you had a mentor that you were looking at? Like, how did that all start?
It was definitely Facebook groups. I think people undervalue how much Facebook groups help. So initially, when I first moved to California, I first started by joining groups in my community that had the names of the community, so I could learn things about where I'm now living. And in turn, some of the people I reach out, answer their questions. They would friend me on Facebook and say, hey, there's another group I think you should join. And so I just found my people, I guess you would say, by offering advice freely on people's questions inside a Facebook group.
Yes. And that's key, because you're giving value, right? You're basically selling without selling, because you're there to provide your expertise, your knowledge, your skills, all of that to people. And in exchange, they're going to be taking that info, and when it's time's right for them, they know who to come to when they want to start paying for services.
Yes. Yes.
And that's how you build your community. And that's how you become a resource and think about the relationship versus the numbers. Because you know, I always tell people, don't worry about the numbers. Those will come later. If you just focus on delivering the content and checking in with your community and provide that value, you're good to go. And the numbers will come later, and they'll really help you. And it's kind of hard to, you know, think that way when you have bills adding up, but it's true.
That's very true. Yes, I made that mistake, actually. When I first started my MLM, I thought I was doing really well. I ended up recruiting a lot of people within the first couple of months. But then I realized that it's not about the numbers. It's about the quality of people. And you don't know the quality of the people if you're just jumping in and trying to offer them what you have and not building that relationship. I've definitely matured in this last year and a half and realized I have my person. I have the kind of ideal person that I would like to do business with. So I take the time to build that connection with them first before I try to offer what I have, because we, as an entrepreneur, there are clients that are just not worth working with. It's just a lot of work, and it takes up a lot of your time. And then a mother of two with a spouse that's away, I don't have that time. So
And you know, it's so true. And that's, I will say, that's amazing that you have found that out so early on, you know, and even though it might have taken up to a year and a half, it doesn't matter. You're still ahead of the game because, you know, when I started, I knew that I didn't want to have everyone as a client because that's too much work and that's not possible, you know. And what happens is too many people will go through, start that way and try to carry that out, and you burn out, your business suffers, your family and friends suffer. Like, it's not good. And so the fact that you learned that so early on and at such a young age too is really impressive. And to be able to share that with your community of people and your followers is a big thing, and it speaks volume right there.
Thank you. I learned it the hard way. When I first started out, because I was going after everyone, I realized a lot of the people were demanding a lot of my time. They wanted me to be able to walk them through exactly how to do it. And I could tell them exactly how to do it, but they need 4, 5, 6 more demonstrations. And it just was not working. I felt like I was constantly on the phone. I was waking up early. I was going to bed late. And then I had 2 kids under 18 months, so I'm constantly waking up in the middle of the night, changing diapers, making bottles. So it was just like, I did burnout. I burnt out a couple of times, and then I realized that the business model that I was building just was not sustainable for my lifestyle.
And what was those next steps that you took to get you out of that? Because once you're, especially as an entrepreneur, I mean, entrepreneurship is lonely enough, but the fact that you basically are on your own at that point because you don't have the people around you to support you and help bring you out of that hole, like, how did you go about the next steps to get motivated to try something new?
I guess I would say what got me motivated to try something new was deals in the house. Because I built my business the wrong way at the beginning, where I was investing in courses that were way beyond where my business is now, I don't even need those courses. I'm happy I have them, but they're not something I needed at that time. Those are payments that I put out that now I'm like, okay, I use that money there, so now I don't have the money to allocate to other places, so I need to do something different. And I know for me, a 9-to-5 just won't work.
Yeah, that's true, especially with the kids. And
yes.
And is that, what's your why for staying out of the 9-to-5? Is it because you want to have that freedom?
Absolutely. I grew up with a mother that worked in the 9-to-5 that was always away. But my mom was actually a stay-at-home mom until I was about 12 to 13 years old.
Nice.
I have 9 siblings. So she stayed at home, and I remember we used to bake and have fun activities and things like that. And then everything changed, where she had to go into the workplace, and I remember that shift. So my younger siblings were raised with someone that was never really available, who couldn't help with homework. Like, the older kids were taking care of the younger kids, and I don't want that for my kids.
You know, that is really awesome, because my mom worked all the time, full-time job, and my dad did his own business, but he always worked too. And so I had, luckily, my grandparents, we kind of lived right behind each other. It was like a duplex, two houses attached. And, you know, so I was fortunate enough, especially at a young age, that I still got to hang out with family, but I was surrounded by people that worked so hard day in and day out just to get the paycheck. I mean, especially my grandparents, like my grandma worked at the Hilton as a waitress, I mean, forever, and her health suffered from it because she was trying to provide for the family and put money on the table, or food on the table and money in the pockets. And so I've come from that background, and I'm like, I don't want to stress about that stuff. I want to be able to enjoy my time here and being able to do what I love and help create and make lives easier for people and all that stuff. So that's what I love about being an entrepreneur, is that when you're focused like that, and when you have things like you had mentioned, you know, the bills keeping you on track because we got to make sure those bills are paid, it does push you into, okay, how am I going to make this work? That didn't work, so let me pivot, let me test something new and see if this will work.
Absolutely. I 100% agree with that.
And what is interesting too is when it comes down to the family aspect, you know, do you have a virtual assist? Are you even in the whole virtual assistant category yet? Have you even branched out to teams, people to your team, or is it just you right now?
I actually do have a virtual assistant, and it was something I invested in my own business model when I thought that it was something I needed. But I'm happy that I do have it now, because it's been, with this new business model, it's been making my entire launch and everything run very smoothly and with the system. And it's allowing me to spend time with my, you know, my husband and my kids, instead of, oh my gosh, I need to figure out how to make this landing page, or this link is not working and I don't know how to fix it. I just shoot them a message and it's taken care of.
See, that is nice. And now a lot of people will, because I have a VA too, which is awesome. And actually I've been fortunate enough to have somebody who's a friend of mine that I used to work with at my 9-to-5. And so it's great. And we actually had a call the other day and we were talking about, you know, just work-life balance and explaining how sometimes it's slow from my end to give her work, but to not let that, you know, fool you, because it will pick up later, especially summer times are slow. And so she was like, no, you know, honestly, I love it because I get to hang out with my kid and do things with him and be able to take him places. He's real young too. I think he's maybe 2 or something. And I tell her all the time, like, how cool it is for me to see on her Instagram and stuff, like her hanging out with her son and being able to do all these fun things. And she's like, well, you know, the money that I get paid from you is really what helps us do fun things. And then later when it's busy, it helps with the bigger bills and stuff. And it's like, just that alone makes me feel so accomplished and so successful, because I'm able to not only hold it down for myself, but I'm able to help somebody else do what they want to do and enjoy what they're doing. You know, it's just really rewarding.
Yes, I understand that feeling completely. As far as me still being in my MLM, the few people that I still have on the team with me, I've been able to help them see a different lifestyle. So I actually have a college student that joined business with me. And before she joined, she spent a lot of her time, like me, in college. I worked 3 jobs. I was a full-time student, and I barely got any sleep. And I was still broke, eating ramen noodles, and couldn't afford to pay my car note. However, once you get into something like this, those 3 part-time jobs that you're getting end up turning into this one business where you put in effort, and then you slowly start seeing the momentum come up, and you get to free up some of your time. So you actually get to take more than a 20-minute nap. And I enjoy being able to see that, where on her post, she'd kind of say something like, oh my gosh, I just woke up from a 2-hour nap. I haven't done that in a really long time. That makes me like so excited about the opportunities that being an entrepreneur will get you.
Yeah, no, and that's the truth right there. You know, and that's what shows that you're really invested in what you do and not trying to make a quick dollar, right? Because that's our reward right there. That's like, that's our payday right there, because of the fact that it just makes us feel good and it keeps us moving forward. And that's where we keep creating and inventing what we need to make it work, which is what I love.
Yes. I actually believe that when you find what you're supposed to be doing and you see the rewards that it have on other people, basically when you're serving others, that means way more than what your bank account looks like. Now, it's nice to have a nice bank account, but it doesn't mean anything if you're not making someone else's day easier or better or whatever it is that your particular product helps that person with.
That is so true. And, you know, you probably heard me say this before, too. That is exactly how it is when it comes to social media, right? It's like, great, you have 100,000 followers, you have 1 million followers, whatever. But that means nothing if you don't have that engagement, if you don't have those people converting to X, Y, and Z. You know, if there's just a number, you know, I hate to break it, I don't know if you know this, but I hate to break it to you, and that social media numbers, like a lot of people buy followers. They're just fake followers, you know? And once I found that out, it was like, it ruined me, because I was like, oh my gosh. And I've known this for a long time, but it ruins you because you're like, wow, now what do I do? Because there's no number that I really want because they're not real.
Absolutely. I actually was given this business advice yesterday to buy followers. And the person told me, hey, if you buy followers, you're going to get, and it was particularly for Instagram, like if a lot of people start joining you when you launch your new business, they're going to see that you have 5, 6, 7,000 followers, and that's going to cause them to want to follow, because they feel like there are so many people already following you. And I was thinking in my head, like, excuse me, that is not what I'm trying to do. I want to build my tribe. I want to build my community. I want us to make a movement, I want it to mean something. It's definitely not about the numbers. So you can do amazing things with a small amount of people.
It's so true. And you know, that's one of the worst sites there too, is the Instagram one. That's where, unfortunately, there's a lot of spam, and there is, people are making good money off of selling that business, right? And it sucks because it's like you're paying for just a number that's not real, and you're wasting money, especially if you're an entrepreneur. Like, why would you want to waste that money to have fake followers in hopes that it's going to attract real people that hopefully will be able to engage with? Like, no, I think it's referred to as, there's a book and I can't remember the name because I've read so many of them, but I think it's probably from Launch Lean or something like that. But it was called Hope Marketing. Like, a lot of times we build things in hopes that somebody's going to come, versus just launching Lean, like a website or a product, with the bare minimum and seeing what people react to it and seeing what they want and what they ask for, and then building from there, right? Instead of building this fancy, awesome website or, you know, office building with all the bells and whistles, and then you realize nobody wants your services. They're not interested. And you wasted all your money.
Yes, that is very true. It's always best to figure out what your audience... First, it's best to figure out who your audience is. And then once you know who your audience is, find out from them what they would like. Because majority of the time, you're going to think that they want one thing, and then you may survey them or poll them or however you get the information from them and find out it's completely different than what you planned on making. So to save yourself time, just find out what the audience wants before you try to do all this big stuff.
That's so true. It's so true. And I'm curious, do you have a mentor or at least somebody, both online or offline, it doesn't matter, that you are paying attention to, that's like an influencer for you, that you're really like, I want to watch what this person does because I want to learn from them? And it doesn't have to be paid, you know, it could just be anybody.
Absolutely. And I'm sure that you know her. It is Nicole Walters. She actually helped me realize how my old business building ways were affecting me because I was so focused on trying to make sure that I was doing everything that I was told that I should be doing. I was spending money that just wasn't fair. So when I ended up having a conversation with her, she just made me realize that I needed to make a change, that I was hurting my business before it even took off. So with her business model, I like how she likes to serve her community. And it's not about the income. It's about the impact. So it would definitely be her.
I love that. And how did you discover Nicole? Because I know how I discovered her, and I can tell you in a minute if you don't know my story. But I'm curious, how did you discover her?
It is actually very funny. I actually discovered her on Periscope, and I was scrolling through, and my finger accidentally touched her broadcast. And I remember that she was putting on makeup, and her eyeliner was so close to her eye, and I was like, oh my gosh, she's going to poke her eye out. But then I started listening to what she was saying, and I was like, I like this. So then that's what made me end up following her, and then I just started watching. At one point, I was watching every single video, every single one that she posted, and I was just spending time just listening to it. And that is exactly how I ended up finding her.
I love it. Do you know how I found her? I don't know if you know that story.
No, I don't.
Okay, so the short version is I ended up seeing her on Periscope shortly after she got on there, and I really felt the vibe, like I was connecting with her, and she was putting out her 1K one day, her first cycle one. And I actually, the day I found out about it, I actually was supposed to take Shalene Johnson's Instagram Impact or whatever academy she was having, and it was $99. And I went and I was like, you know, and this is just how bad I am. I was like, okay, it's $99. Do I really want to invest this money? Am I okay if this $100 goes out the door and doesn't come back? You know, because like I'm just frugal like that. And I was like, okay, let me take a look and see. So I went on my phone and I was just about to purchase Shalene's Instagram Academy. And I did try to, but it didn't let me. And I tried it a couple times and it didn't let me. And I was like, okay, well, that's a sign. Like, I'm all about signs. And I said, well, I guess this is not meant to be, so that's okay. And then I kid you not, Nicole's came up and I was like, well, it's the same price. Let me go ahead and do it. And I did. And it was like the best thing I could have done at that time to launch everything. And it was so funny because even to this day, every time Nicole went live, I was on trying to connect with her and all her people, her community, and just providing value. And then everyone's like, who's this Ed guy? Like, who is this guy? And it was just always funny to me because I was like, I hope people don't think I'm this weird stalker, because you know, there's this fine line that if you're always showing up to people's stuff, it's kind of like, okay, are you a cool person or are you just being creepy stalker-ish? And luckily I never gave that vibe off. So that was good. And things just, you know, went from there, and it's just been an awesome journey. Just so cool how you started your business and you realized that you needed to pivot and you continued to go, because a lot of times what will happen, especially when you don't have anybody really around to bounce ideas off of, you will end up putting it back on the back burner, let's say, and having to go back to a 9-to-5. Now, I'm curious, because I will admit I have done this, because this is just who I am. I do this with everything, even if I'm working a 9-to-5. I've looked at other job openings just to have as a backup or a side gig, not necessarily full-time, because I've never been like a full-time type of guy, unless I'm doing entrepreneurship. But I've looked at the classifieds and the Craigslist and all of that. Do you ever do that?
Absolutely. I remember, and I would say the most recent one was probably about a month and a half ago, before I made this huge major business shift that I'm making now. And I remember looking and I saw something. I was like, should I apply? And then I thought about why I got into entrepreneurship. And the story with that is I was about 6 months pregnant with my daughter, and I was working at a retail store. And I remember that somebody spilled coffee on the mirror in the fitting room, And I had to go and get on my knees, and I was scrubbing the mirror, and I was like, this is not worth $7.25 an hour. I was like, I just can't do this. And then I remember that I looked up, and it was someone trying to come in to get, like, to change and try on clothes. And I worked in an upscale retail store where my paycheck couldn't cover a belt. Like, when I got paid at the end of 2 weeks, I couldn't afford anything in the store. So I was just thinking, I was like, this is not worth it. I can't do it. And I actually quit that day. So when I was looking at the classifieds and I was looking at the jobs, and I was like, I can't. So I shut it back down and decided to go back working on my business.
You know, I just got chills when you said that, because that is so awesome. That's why you're a why notter. That's what a why notter is. Like, that's what I call my community, the people that are doing entrepreneurship. And it's just like, ah, oh, it's so awesome. And I've only had one retail job, which is when I was working at Apple. So I know what retail is like. And that was at like a high level. I don't think I can do any other retail. but it is really cool that you realize that, and that you weighed out the options, right? You took it upon yourself to tell yourself, is this what I'm worth? $7.25 or whatever, you know, an hour to do this when I could be working on X, Y, and Z. And that takes a lot, especially when you're when you need to make a paycheck. So that just amazes me. As you can see, I'm lost for words, because it's so cool to have that thinking in the moment when you're doing something and realize, I'm out. Like, this is not me, and I'm gonna do better. I'm going to make something else happen. And so huge applause to you, because that's really awesome.
Thank you. Actually, the day I did it, I was so scared, but I was just like, I can't do it. But I got home, and my husband was very supportive. He understood, because I was complaining a lot. Like, I would just tell him all of the things I hated about the job every single day. And then I realized that I was turning into that person that complained but never did anything about it. And that's when I was like, I made the right choice.
That is huge, that you knew you made the right choice and that you communicated it too with your husband, because that's important. You know, a lot of people have family members that depend on them. You know, they have a husband, a wife, kids. You know, I'm still single, so it's just me. But still, you know, the fact is that what you do affects other people. And to be able to check in with them and have that open communication is huge. And especially when you have a family.
Yes, I will say that I was fearful, because, you know, we had a baby on the way and we didn't have any family. At that time, we were living in Virginia. We didn't have any family. The closest ones lived in Florida and Indiana. So it was just like, what are we going to do? But then we also realized, okay, this is something that I decided. I made the choice. Let me figure out a way to make income and I can stay home with kids. So this is saving us childcare, the cost of childcare.
Yeah.
With whatever I decide to put out there and start doing.
Yeah. And do you remember how you got started with the actual research part of it? Like, did you just start researching on Google, or did you start reading books, or start taking those courses? Like, how did that happen? Because I'm always curious how people start.
I actually started before I even quit. It kind of started happening, but I didn't realize it until later. I ended up being introduced to Dave Ramsey's book, The Total Money Makeover. Yeah. And as he was explaining some of the things in the book, I was just like, I'm just not making ends meet with this job. So when I ended up quitting, it's funny, my aunt was in an MLM company. She called me maybe 2 weeks later. I didn't tell anyone that I quit. And she offered me the opportunity, and I said yes. And that ended up being my first company, and the company I'm in now is actually my second. So the first one didn't work out, but I was thinking, I quit. I'm not doing a 9-to-5 right now. What can it hurt? Why not try it, see if it works out for me?
Yes, why not? Why not try it? I love that. And And that is what's cool, is that you took the leap and you started with something as simple as a book, right? That's how my first business actually started. Was I created a magazine, and it started because I was reading a book on how to start a magazine and a newsletter, and it just started snowball effect. And I was like, why not try it? See what happens, you know?
That's so cool. I didn't know that.
Yeah. I had a magazine for 2 years. I ran it, and I put out 4 issues, 2 of which were printed, because I was very determined to go through the entire process and have a physical, tangible product to give people. And then all 4 issues are online. And so I have them on my website for people to look at. But yeah, you know, print, obviously everyone says print's dying and all of that, but I was determined to go ahead and do that because I wanted it to be special. I wanted it to be something that people can look at, hold on to, rip pages out of, do whatever. Because, you know, I mean, and this was back in 08, so a little dated now, but at the time too, I was like, anybody could put something online, not to say that that's not as good, but I wanted to actually go through that whole process of, even though it was an expensive process, you know, it taught me what I needed to know. It got me to the right people. It allowed me to understand what I could have done better and what I did do and the things that I accomplished. I mean, like you were saying with your courses, you know, it was an investment that we had to make, and it did pay out in different ways. So, and you know, I didn't make really any money off the magazine, but that's okay, because it gave me what I needed, and I knew when to call it quits, because at any point in time, I could pick that up easily if there was a demand for it. I got a box in the garage with all this stuff in it. I got the files, like I could throw it up in a couple days, knowing what I know now, and probably make it twice as good. But you know, you just have to know when to call it quits or to pivot, like you did, you know, which is great.
I like that. I like the fact that with your story, you decided to go for something, and even though it, I wouldn't say it wasn't popular, but it was something that people weren't doing, you decided to go for it anyway, because that's something that a lot of people would shy away from. When someone tell you, oh, you shouldn't do it that way, or that's not going to work, if you go ahead and try it, you tried it. Like, you will never be able to think or sit there and say, I wonder what would have happened, because you actually went ahead and did it.
Exactly. And that's why I say to myself, and I tell people too, is don't have regrets. You know, like, I don't regret doing that at all. What else was I going to do with that money? I was in college still. I was making that happen while working 3 or 4 part-time jobs. And it was fun. So it gave me what I needed. Like, I didn't need to have a paycheck. And actually the same thing that I apply to this business and that one at the time is, I am okay if I have to work a part-time job, as long as the business I built is sustainable and it's changing people's lives and it's helping others. I'm okay if I have to go work somewhere else. Like, that's just how it is.
Yeah.
So let me ask you, before I let you go, let me ask you, what is one piece of advice that you would give somebody who's just starting out in entrepreneurship?
Don't do like me. And by that, I mean, I think what caused me to have so many different directions and putting out so many different expenses was I was following multiple leaders. I was looking at this person and that person, and they were all successful in their businesses. So I was getting all of their broadcasts and looking at what their business model was. And when they say, go buy this, or, oh, you need to do this, or you should be doing that, I was running with, like, my head cut off because I was following so many different people. So my advice would be, find one person in your niche that can become your mentor. Even if you can't talk to them, at least follow them and find out the how they run their business, and focus on just that. And stay focused. Now, I'm not saying you can't look at other people and see how they're running their business, but if you look at other people, I would say do it for what they're specialized in. So if you're looking at other people, it may be because they're good at Facebook ads, or they're good at leading pages, or whatever it is. Do it because of their specialty, not because it's their business model, if that makes sense.
Oh, you nailed it. It totally makes sense. And that is key right there, because I always like to remind myself as well as others that you really have to narrow your focus to 1 to 3 at max people that you follow, because there's no way, and the same thing applies for your social media channels too, right? Like, you want to be on every channel, but you can't possibly use every channel effectively. Same with your influencers. Like, yes, you can follow 5, 10, 20 people, but you're not really getting the specific message you need to. You need to narrow it down, because otherwise, like you said, you're all over the place and there's basically too many cooks in the kitchen, right? Because everyone's going to do it differently. And so to have that narrow focus of less than 3, I mean, ideally 1, but you know, between 1 and 3, just to get a variety, allows you to feel more, I want to say it allows you to feel like you can breathe again, and that you can really start picking out the how, the why, and understanding how you're going to be able to apply it to yourself. So even if you can't afford to work with that person, if they offer services, let's say, or you can't afford their product right away, there's so much free advice that we're giving out constantly. You got your Facebook Lives, you got your Periscopes, you got your blog posts, which is where everyone should be focused on, and then pushing it out to social, right? And then you have your podcasts. I can't tell you how many podcast episodes I'm listening to every day now, and I'm learning so much from all these different people. And it's not even specifically for my business, it's just in general. And there's just so much free content out there that if you're limited on a budget, you can still pick up and apply that knowledge, because that's the key, right? We have to be able to apply the knowledge, not just soak it up. So it totally makes sense with what you said.
I absolutely agree with that. I really want to choose your 1 to 3 that you're going to focus on solely because I was one of those people that I was trying to be on so many different social media sites that I would sit for hours on the weekend creating content, and 2 weeks later, it's all used up and I had to start all over.
Yep.
So it makes it a lot easier with your time as well by narrowing it down, getting into your groove, getting into your rhythm, as I like to say, and then moving forward and doing what you need to do as far as your business and how you want to get out there.
Yeah, I agree. And, you know, you brought up a good point too about the social media content creation, and it's taken me a while too. I mean, you know, it's been a long ride and I still don't have it perfected, but now I'm thinking through the processes more, and I realize that when it comes down to it, I start everything with a blog post and then I push it out to social, and that blog post actually can start from a Facebook Live or a Periscope Live or whatever you want. Like, well, I think what happens is we get too overwhelmed with social media as if it was our website. So we're posting all this great content on social media, which we don't own and it's not ours. And we forget that we have to put it on our site and push it outwards, if that makes sense, so that we are not constantly creating so much content for all these different platforms. We basically just focus on pulling it from what we're already doing and building from there, if that makes sense. I'm kind of going off the track there.
No, it actually makes a lot of sense, because I am your true example. I don't know if you know, but back in February, Facebook deleted my account with no warning. So I ended up losing my entire following, and sadly, I was not building a list. I was doing business through the Facebook Messenger. So I lost all of the contacts I had. I lost all of the conversations I had, and I had to start all over. And here it is now. And I'm nowhere near the numbers I was originally. So I've definitely changed that for this new business model. Definitely do not build your business on social media, because it can be gone in a day. I literally remember I woke up and it was close to my birthday. So I was getting a lot of birthday notifications, and I ended up checking it, and then on my phone, it logged me out, and I tried to log back in, and it said account cannot be found. I was heartbroken, and I just couldn't understand, and I sent an email, and to this day, I still have not received any information as to why my account was deleted. And I wasn't doing anything against the policy, so I would definitely say do not build it on social media. That would be a second rule I would say is advice what I would give.
Thank you so much for tuning in to the podcast. I hope you enjoyed this episode. Dive deeper into the conversation with this guest as well as others by going to yestoentrepreneurship.com/podcast. Over there, you will find a list of all the previous episodes and bonus material for each guest. I hope that you'll continue to share out this podcast, and please be sure to leave a review in iTunes and subscribe so that way others can discover this show and be able to realize they are not alone and that they have somebody they can count on to provide value and motivate and inspire them to keep moving forward. Together, we can make it happen. And like I always say, teamwork equals success. So go out there and do something great, because why not?